possible, the actual Sidur Kiddushin, beginning with the what I call the meeting which should take place between the Chos and Kala and the Masada Kiddushin, going through the documents and then going through the actual wedding. Before I begin today, I thought there might be some questions you may have had over the last four shiurim before we embark upon the last two today and the Mitzvah Shem and a week from Thursday. If you have any questions, I'm happy to take them right now. You know, at the end, there's often a shortage of time for questions.
Can you record the Shem for
some? You certainly can record it. That's an easy question. Okay, since there are no questions, let me begin with I can't say it's part of the Sidur Kiddushin process, but I do think it's an important part of the meeting which every Masada Kiddushin should have with a young couple when they're engaged. And I believe it's very, very important that there be certain guidance given. I'm not discussing Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha, which of course is important. I'm not discussing what they call today a Chosen Shmuz, which is also very important for those who require it. But I'm talking about you speaking to a chassan and a kala together and teaching them a little bit about marriage. As they often say, the wedding is the easy part. How long does that take? You know, it's a few hours and done. But staying married, today's world, we live in a difficult world, you all know, and the divorce rate is very, very high. So I always, when I talk to Chos and Kala, the first thing I tell them is what is found in Rav Dessler's Sefer, Michta Me'elio, in his Kuntras of Nesino and Netila. And that is that in marriage as in life, a person should aspire to be a giver, someone who gives, not to be someone who's a taker. Of course, there has to be both. What is the emphasis? A person enters into a marriage with this idea that he and she want to give to the other. That's a guarantee, Rav Dessler would tell every Chos and Kala, of a happy marriage. If a person is interested in taking, then it portends trouble down the road. You're interested in taking, no guarantee the marriage will last. So the marriage is like a business, you know, you want to make money. So you start losing money, you sell the business. So if the business of marriage is about taking more than giving, so as long as you're taking more than the giving, okay, so it's a successful business. Chas v'chalila, it turns, for whatever reason, someone gets sick, circumstances change, and there can be numerous changes in life. So maybe it's not going to die anymore. That's the unfortunate reality that we live in. Very serious. I think it should be hammered home. In that same country, the Rav Dessler speaks about love, but Ava. And Ava is Melashon Hav, giving. You love someone to whom you give, not necessarily someone who gives to you. If I'm not mistaken, in the same country, he tells the story of the Holocaust story, the family that was separated. Someone said it was Rav Dessler himself, that because of the war, the father went with some children and the mother went, didn't. And the feeling of love which the father had for those children, the mother couldn't catch up because she just hadn't given to them all those years. It's a very deep psychological insight. I think it's such an important thing to tell to a young couple. This is how marriages last, you know. A person gets sick in a marriage, and say, well, what do I need this for? Or, and we're told launching into a, Baruch Hashem, a very young audience. People get a little bit older. They don't look as good as they used to when they were so much younger. They maybe gain too much weight at an older age, which we should try not to do. But it's not appealing to me physically anymore. The Yetzer Haras wear off after time, and marriages break up, unfortunately. It's a reality. And you have to hammer home from the very beginning. Marriage is about giving. And if things change a little bit, you have to give more. Adarabba. Marriage is a lifetime opportunity for Gemilas Chasadim. And while this is not part of the Siddur Kedushin proper, it certainly is part of the Shiduchim process. I was looking at my predecessor, Rabbi Bleich, when he would give this class. There's a lot of time spent on Shiduchim. And he was talking primarily about the halachic impact of Shiduchim, of Tznoim. If you look at Otzer Poskim and Simen Nun, you'll see a lot about it. Sivov in particular, those learning Sanhedrin, it's all about Asmachta. Tosfos quotes here about Shiduchim, Asmachta, Shiduchim. If you spoke about it a little bit in the previous year, where they had the original Tanoim with a certain Knossos, and now they're collectible, and what happens if the Shiduch breaks up? Can you get out of the Cherim and the Knas? And you have to have a Shtar Mechila. It's all written there. That's what I'm here to talk about today. Looking for the Shiduch. They'll say, well, they come to you, it's too late. Maybe, but nonetheless, it is an equally important part. If you look carefully in the psukim in Parshas Chayisara, you see clearly that Eliezer was looking for someone who's a balas chesed, because chesed, as we said before, giving. This augurs well for a proper marriage. The greater the baal or balas chesed is, the greater the chance that the marriage is going to be a lasting and healthy marriage. Can't go into it in great detail now, but if you look there from the Kli Yoker in Parshas Chayisara, he talks there about an additional midah which goes together, which is the midah of Tzniyus. Tzniyus goes together with Chesed. Hakrein olafon hayom. The Kli Yoker explains that it means it should be a mikra, it should be a fluke. A woman who never goes out, who's not found in the street all the time. By chance, just that day she went out. Kliyoka goes on and says, that's what happened. Rivka Yemenu never went out before. How do you know? The Kliyoka says, she was Bisula, V'ish lo yida'ah. Kipshuto means no one knew who she was. And that's why when Eliezer saw how great her chesed was, he asked her, Bas mi'at, who are you? What family are you from? There may be some singles still in the room. Give you a piece of advice, that if you're at some setting or other and you see there's a fine young lady, don't go over and say, who are you? It's just not polite. You ask someone else, as Boaz did, L'mi hanar azos, who is she? Oh, that's how you as well. So I think Eliezer never took the Emily Post course. He didn't know, it wasn't polite. So the Kliyoka says, he asked everybody else, no one knew who she was. She was such a tznua. She never went out. And tznius and chesed go together on many levels. Because the person who's doing chesed to make headlines, that's not such a chesed lumum chatas. Chesed should be done for its own sake. So the Kliyoka goes on and explains that, quoting from Rashi, Rashi says that the various gifts that were given were a remnant to the Shteluchos and Aseras Adibros and the Shkolim, Machzis HaShekel. It's all the same Yesod, Ayin Hara. The Machzis HaShekel to prevent Ayin Hara, the first Rashi in Kisisa, if you count straight as an Ayin Hara, as a plague. Rashi again, later Kisisa says that the Luchos were given Bekole Kolos, Bekolos of Vekilos of Vechuas, Sholtim and Ayin Ra. And they were broken. Rashi concludes, "Ein lecha yofim en atzniyus." So I like to explain the two phrases: "Is ayin hara and is ayin ra." "Is ayin tova and is ayin yofa." One is on the level of chesed versus stinginess, Mishnah Trumas, Sugana Hela Metzias, 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. And then, of course, there's the Ayin Hara. We always say Bli Ayin Hara. Bli Ayin Hara. What's the opposite of Bli Ayin Hara? So the Kliyaka says, Kala She'enea Yofo Se'ena Tzricha Bedika. What do you mean? She has blue eyes? That's a Chazal mean. Chas V'chalila. It means that she is a Na Yofa, so she has Chesed, and she's also a Tznua. If Ayin Ra and Ayin Hara, which sound almost the same and almost identical, their respective opposites are Tznius on one hand and Chesed on the other hand, that means the two are obviously related. This is all part of the Shidduch process, but if the Shidduch process has been completed and the Chas and Kala have, Baruch Hashem, found each other, you have to hammer home these ideas. The idea of Chesed, number one, and the idea of Tznius. And Tznius should be hammered home in terms of the marriage relationship. The marriage relationship should be one of Tznius, which means there is an identity of a couple, and the couple is a unit, and it's a unit into which no one else is allowed. Now, I'm not going as far as they do in Lakewood. I'm told that in Lakewood now there's a sock that in Shona Rishona can have no company in your house, can't have any couples to your house. That's what I'm told. I'm not in Lakewood. I don't go that far. But at the same time, there's sometimes the other way around. People aren't sensitive enough to the fierce loyalty that has to be created between husband and wife. They give to each other, they defend each other. You know, in life, people sometimes are criticized. If you'll be Rabbonim one day, it's the Kal Vachomer. And Baruch Hashem, if you're able to handle it, it's good. You can be criticized. Baruch Hashem, it's often a good thing. And maybe you stand for something which is right and other people don't understand it, so you can be fine. And sometimes there are harsh and unjustified criticisms. And everyone should be able to just be moichel and move on. That's except for the spouse, maybe the children. But I'm a chiyuv, maybe not even allowed to be moichel in the covet of a parent or a spouse. It's important. I can go in both directions. Someone insults the Rebbetzin, the Rav has to. And the Rav, so the Rebbetzin has to. The children have to fend for both. You can be moichel on someone else's covet. Your own, you can be moichel. It's all part of the idea of the indivisible unit of a husband and wife. And for that reason, if someone criticizes your spouse to you, feel free in quoting me to say, not acceptable. Kind of psak, it's not acceptable. You can't, I'm not listening. Of course, no one is perfect, right? We're in the room, I'm certainly not perfect. The spouses maybe are closer to perfect, but not perfect. See, overlook. That's another critical part of marriage. Overlooking faults. We all have faults, and we should look in the mirror. Our faults are so great. So we certainly should overlook the faults of another. It's my pshat in the Maimah Chazal that tells us that Uviyom Heiroz Baboso Chayitno, Pashas Tazria. So Yesh Yomim Shiyat Teroa. Yontif, you don't see the Goyim. And Chos and Kal, you don't see the Goyim. So the Pashup Shad is like Shiva Simei Mishnah, it's like a Yontif for Chos and Kal. It's the only truth, Pashup Shad. But I wanted to suggest beyond that. When a couple gets married, that's when they first discover each other's faults. There could be all kinds of faults. There could be physical faults. When a couple got married and they were always dressed appropriately, you know, before they were married, and now they get married, and he notices, or she notices, hey, there's a big, a pimple on your big toe, or something like that. I never noticed it. We're wearing socks. No. Or, as the other example I give, now that they're sharing an apartment, so I see, wait a minute, when you squeeze the toothpaste, you just go this way, not this way. V'chadayma. I'm just giving examples. So, all right. So instead of going crazy about these silly things, overlook it. That's pshat. Mida keneged mida. The shivas yimei mishnah. When you're most intensely supposed to overlook the faults that you're discovering about your new spouse, mida keneged mida, the kohen overlooks your faults. They're not pronounce you as being tameh, even though the goyim are really there. All this has to be explained to a chasan and kala. Kavachomer bebenosha kavachomer. We call today dvar shebeino lebeino, in the intimate part of marriage, absolute tznius. It's to be found in the Yoredeya. When a woman goes to the mikvah, should be as tznu as possible. But certainly the beino lebeino of a husband and wife is very, very important that you remain tznua. In the outside world, there's nothing. It's just nebuch. There's no tznius anymore. It's mind boggling. It's crazy. It's just crazy. And you have to resist with all our might. And sometimes the chaskal don't know. When they grow up in the world, some of them maybe they watch TV and they see how couples speak in public and what goes on in their bedrooms, or Rahman al-Islam. I mean, it's crazy. That's the culture they're being brought up with. So sometimes you have to tell them, this is lo yosgem b'kom heinu, this is not our way. How are they supposed to know? Unfortunately, there's a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge. Number of other things should be spoken about in terms of young couples and when you speak to them. I'm giving you the way I speak. You can speak your own way. You'll be meeting couples. Some of you are not even couples yourself yet. If you are, just young couples, Baruch Hashem. As life goes on, you'll be meeting couples, assuming you go into the Rabbonis or Rosh Hashivas, if you're marrying off Talmidim. Obviously, you're not going to adapt my style. You have to have your own style. I'm just giving you a few talking points, we call today, bullet points. What I try to remember to talk to about to the Chas and Kala in that original session after we talk about the actual wedding proper. Money can be a big problem. My solution to money is very simple. He earns it, she spends it. This is what it says in the first line of the Ksuba. It's really. Not Eflach, that means you earn it. But okay, you cherish it, maybe she spends it. That's it's so simple. If it were, I know, you have to have a wife knows how to manage the books. Baruch Hashem. I hope most of you are zoicha to that. That's the easiest way. People shouldn't fight about money. It's a terrible thing. I've seen too many couples fighting about money. It's terrible. I've seen men try to control their wives with money. I kid you not. If you don't do this, I'm just not going to give you money. So I come to me, call me rabbi, I can't feed my children. My husband doesn't give me money. Crazy people. Control freaks. I've seen women who are also control freaks, but that's a much more rare occasion. The men control freaks, I've seen it more often. Shelo ledaber on men who try to control their wives with physical force. Rachmana l'tzlan. I was asked to serve on something called the Shalom Task Force, which is, you see in the ads, it hurts to call, but it hurts much more not to call. This is all part of a terrible, terrible phenomenon, which according to the Rishonim, it comes from Minig HaGoyim. Chalila v'chalila, chas v'shalom. The calls come in from all parts of our community. Chassidish, Shivish, Modernish, I get the calls from everywhere. Not too frequently, Baruch Hashem, I'm not a high profile member of their list, but I'm on the list and I get calls. There can be issues in marriage. Not all marriages are just to run smoothly all the time. Some rabbis tell their young couples how to fight. I try to tell them how not to fight. But if there are disagreements, don't go to the parents. It's the worst thing because they don't know how to handle it and they become very defensive, etc. Go back to the Rav or someone else and get a referral. There are very wonderful marriage counselors out there. not all created equal, but there are many ones that feel professionals who know how to handle these situations. They save marriages. I've saved marriages. I'm not saying it to boast. I've saved marriages. I'm just tottering. Usually by referring them out to someone who knows better how to handle it. Rav Pam, in his Haskama to a Sefer called, I think, Bias Nemen B'Yisrael, one of those, so Shalom Bias could trace him, says, if you have a problem, go to a professional, solve it, dip it in the bud. Having been the unfortunate witness to a number of marital breakups, I found, generally speaking, the problems that lead to the breakup predate the marriage. So I guess it's important to raise healthy children. We should be psychologically healthy and should know the basic hashkafas of the Torah. That's the best way you can ensure that they'll be happily married. Parents take different roles in the shidduchim of their children. In the olden days, they did the shidduch. That's how they say in Yiddish. I did a shidduch. Means that my son's engaged. In our world, the couple gets engaged. In that world, the parents engage their children. Not much of an overstatement. Some of the people in our world are sort of caught betwixt and between. In the olden days, or the Haredi world more, the parents are still doing it. In the more modern world that we used to exist in when I was young, they all met in camp, or they met in school, or whatever. And some people today are caught, to meet, that's not yeshivish. But their parents aren't working for them, so they're left neither here nor there. I've seen it many times. Speaking of parents, they can sometimes get in the way with the best of intentions. Sometimes not, but usually with the best of intentions. They meddle too much into their children's lives. Sometimes they try to control them with the purse strings. Ideally, a couple should be independent, but at the beginning, it's perfectly natural for the parents to be helping out. But they shouldn't meddle in too much. Spoke some years back in Shul in Lawrence with a graying community, and they all have married children. And I give two examples where parents should not be butting in. Everyone started smiling and laughing. One, don't argue or don't say where your children should come for Yom Tov. You should come to this one. I've seen too many firefights. Everyone wants to know, I'm counting up, keeping cheshbon. You went there this time, you have to come to me. Let the children go wherever they want to go. Two, don't tell your children how to name their children. You had your chance. I've seen these terrible fights about that also. These are just two examples, but I said that, everyone started to smile again. As guilty as charged. The kids, we should try. These are all important things. You gotta. And parents should not be critical of their children-in-law. He said before that no one's allowed to be critical, including it. It's very hard for a young man or woman to tell a parent, please, this is not healthy. Blame it on me. It says in the famously, Ish Imav Yaviv Tiro, Rishus Acherim Aleha. So she's potter. I have a whole mimer about it in one of the Beis Yitzchaks, where, in my view, not just her, it's him too. It's the idea being that a request of a parent, keep it up, aim, has to be reasonable. It's not reasonable to expect the child to have to answer to the parent when they're married. Their primary responsibility is to their spouse. This leads me to the next topic, which I always say for last, speaking to Chasam Kala, which is having children. This is not the time to give a lengthy discourse about Pru Ravu, but I think that there's a certain responsibility of the Rav. This is a direct contrast to someone who wrote recently that the rabbi should have nothing to do with this. Somehow it's not a halachic issue. I don't see how anyone can write such a thing. We all know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. First line of Shulchan Aruch, the very first line. I brought a Shulchan Aruch. I have had it for all the previous. I don't know if I opened it even once. The first page we're going to open. So, how's that? The first page? Page one. Chayav Kolodam Liso Isha Kade Lifros Velirvos. Shine. That's what it says. It says at first Beis Shmuel, V'chayav livol b'chol ona, afilu shehir shehis hezbala sheyimna onasa, chayav livol b'chol ona atshiyul abonim. Can cut to the Rambam, Perek Tetzvav and Nechaz Ishus, and Shulchan Aruch, Simon Ayin Vav. He asked the Beis Shmuel, is after you have children, it's okay? Why? Mechila works after Pru Ravu. Even if you had Pru Ravu, Chayav Lekayam La'erev Al Tanach Yodecha. So why does Mechila work for one and not for the other? That's the Kasha of the Beis Shmuel, Simon Aleph, Os Aleph. It's a good question. It's an excellent question. Now, the answer presumably is that La'erev al Tanach Yodecha is not the same level as Puru. So it's a lower level. A lower level. Pisrei Tshuva at the very beginning, again, the very first Os, quotes the Bukhe Yosef. La'erev al Tanach Yodecha means don't give up on having children. Even it's what's called Le'itir Mechokos. Raglo Yaniach Legamre. Okay, so not Chaya B'chol Ona V'ona. It's even a question whether Le'erev Al Tanach Yodecha is a Chiyav Gomen with the Rabbonon. Maybe it's much less than that. It's kind of a Yishuv Derech Eretz. Look at the Ramban of Balamor. And it's interesting, when the Rambam quotes the Zin, he doesn't quote L'Erev Al Tanach Yodecha. He says, Kol HaMosef Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael Ki Nebola Olam. Because Ishus. Sounds very poetic. The answer is yes. Yes. Presumably it's based upon the Gemara in Yevamos. Samach Gimel Kol Mish'eino Osek B'Piri V'Rivya Kilu Shofech Domin. Mishnah Sanhedrin. We're learning Sanhedrin this year. Tavlam Zayin, Matzal Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael, Kilu Kiyem Olam Mole. So you had a Nefesh, you build an Olam Mole. Not only that, but even though there's no Chiyev Pru Ravu, once a person has a boy and a girl, he is exempt from that Chiyev. But it's certainly a Kiyem, you have Mekayim Pru Ravu. That's what the Mishnah sounds in Masechet Yevamos. The kiyum goes on forever. Is it a chiyuv or a some kind of a yishuv derech eretz of le'erev al tanach yodecha? But it's a fulfillment, a kiyum of pruru. So we have to discuss two things: how many, and when. So we'll discuss the when first, because that's usually the most difficult thing to talk about for Chasam and Kala. So the Rambam writes, "Lo yisa adam akoro zekena v'ayelan suktana shenaruili lele elam kein kiyem mitzvahs piri v'rivya." So you can't marry a young woman. Perek tesvav alochazayin. Where'd it come from? The Magen Mishnah says, even though she will become fertile down the road, right now she's not a bas banim. This leads me to a conclusion that a couple is not supposed to get married now, will have kids X years from now. If that would be permissible, he could be allowed to marry a ketana. Wait a little while, she'll become a bas banim. Not allowed. So the Rambam says, chayav livel b'chol ona, by definition, it's referring to a woman who's capable of having children. Now it is true that you may postpone marriage, Rambam says, for certain important reasons. Lulmo Torah, for example, around Raisa Halacha Beis. There's a famous Gemara in Sota, a Raisa. First, the person should be bona bias and no Teya Kerem and no Seisha. Daf Mem Dalet and Sota. The Marashot says there, Mi Shiyesh Lo Yasek Aseder Razel Li Seisha Bachron. If you're able to do so. If you have no money, so the Torah Tmima on those psukim in Dvarim Perek Ches Chav, excuse me, Pasuk Zayin, says if you have enough money, as you should do, buy a house, plant a vineyard, and then get married. Otherwise, if you mean to tell me as a rule Chok V'lo Yaver, someone who has no money will never get married. That's an impossibility. Can't be. Mong Subas, it's almost learned last year. The Yosem comes to marry you, get a few dollars for tzedakah. What do you mean? Give him a few different things. Give him a house. Give him a vineyard. I'm a chuyif. If you look at the Siman Ayin Vav, which is quoted, look at the Ezim Bikodesh. He says, "Otu ani she'ein lo ba'el lefarnis yilodim yepotiv mitzvah say the pruvu?" ! A person wants to postpone marriage for the sake of learning Torah, the Rambam gives him a heter, as long as he's not overcome by Purim. That's before he's married. But once he's married, I don't see any heter whatsoever. Some say, I can't afford children. Correct. They're right. Chazal say, "Man de yoav chai yoav mizoni." The one who gives life gives bread. Doesn't say gives fancy houses and fancy cars. It's bread, mizoni, and cake too. Manage. I saw something interesting, which is relevant. We spoke about genetic testing. Rav Moshe Zetshuva, Eben Ezra Chelek Gimel Siman Yud Beis, talks about Tsar. So he quotes that there's certain limitations. Reb Shlomo Zalman has in Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Gimel Siman Kuf Gimel Sifkat Aleph. If the husband's afraid that the tzar that he and his children are going to have are worth more than Chomesh Menachos of his pot, it's kind of like bringing children into the world who are, might be sick, Chalila. I don't understand Reb Shlomo Zalman at all. 1/5 of your money spend on your children? You're lucky if you keep 1/5 for yourself. I don't understand. At the same time, I thought it's prohibited to bring into the world children who are going to be sick. You're not even with Sarah, another Jew. So that's why I feel very strongly that contraception upon marriage should be discouraged unless it's literally a health consideration. I know that I'm simply going against the rest of the world, and not only the world of we'll call it the quote, modern world, but it's true, it's crept its way into the more, we'll use the phrase, less modern world, but it is less and more. I just had a meeting of this type recently with a young couple. And this cousin owns a black hat, and the collar is supposedly some kind of a more, you know, that type of a community. And I start giving this whole spiel, and this is how I ended the spiel, because I saw right away that she's not macabre. I saw right away. So I told him the following story. 30-something years ago, I got a call from a fellow I knew from Camp Marasha, from Bloomfields. I hardly knew him. So he wanted to come see me with his kala. Fine. To come to see me, I remember, on the Mosi Shabbos. And I said, well, what would you like to discuss? Birth control. I said, you come to the wrong address, I told him. You can leave right now. We'll be friends, no problem. Said, no, we decided we want to listen to what you have to say. So I told him all these things. And she's starting to tear up. Kyle, what can I do? You're not permitted to change your mind because someone is tearing up. Who was the first one to make that mistake? Adam Arishan. Chazal say in the Medrash, she started to cry, so that's why you're from the Etzadas. Yeah, it's the Medrash Rabbah. So, it's Kisha Matal Kol Lishtecha. That's what the Pasuk says, but. Sorry, yes? Chava told Adam he eats from the Etzadas. He wouldn't listen. Hashem said no. So she started to cry. Anyway. So what I do, I said, so he left. I met him 10 years later at a yeshiva dinner. I said, can we speak to you privately? I said, sure. I went to a corner. I said, do you remember us? I said, yes. Do you remember we came to speak to you before we got married? I said, yes. Do you remember what we spoke about? I said, yes. He reaches into his wallet and pulls out a delicious picture of five children. Five wonderful children. He tells me, when we left your apartment, we got into the car, and my wife, then my collar, burst out into uncontrollable sobs. She wasn't able to handle it. It was an emotional thing. Her husband was becoming a doctor, and he was going to be away all night many of the times, and I just couldn't handle it. But since we accepted your psak, we did what we did. And we want to thank you. 10 years later, we realized what good advice you gave us, and we weren't, from our perspective, we just couldn't handle it, but you were right. If not for your psak, we wouldn't have been zochel to this bracha. And they said, please tell everyone who comes to you our story. We're going to have a perspective that we had with this problem, not emotionally ready, not financially stable, whatever. Baruch Hashem. There are a number of rabbanim, including Tamid Chachamim, who are counseling couples to postpone having children because of the terrible early divorce rate, which I alluded earlier. The divorce within the first year. It's a Makas Medina. And of course, if there's a child involved, it's a disaster. It could be a 6-month marriage and a 6-year divorce. There's something going on there right now. Yeah. 6-month marriage. I mean, maybe they wait to separate till after the child is born, sometimes even not. And it takes 6 years for them to disentangle them because of all the fights over the child. Such a child is bring a child into the world to be from a broken home, it's certainly not a chatchila. My belief is that despite the proliferation of these early divorces, it's still small minority, relatively speaking. And we should not change the whole world around because of this phenomenon. And to add to that, there are couples that practice contraception. Then they have trouble conceiving when they go off. The the single most important predictor of fertility is the wife's age. And the interfering with the normal systems with their various methods can also have a negative impact. This is my opinion as far as young couples having children as soon as they're married. And then when I get pushback, whether it be verbally or body language, I come back with the following. On the other hand, once a couple is blessed with a child, I believe that there's much to be said for spacing children. I spoke with Dr. Schimmel. Then you hear that with the UN. You went that just a couple of weeks ago. So he said that from the medical perspective, a woman should wait a year after having one child before attempting another. And the Chazon Ish, we know, is light years ahead of all the doctors. He passed away more than 60 years ago. Quote, that the Nishmas Avraham quotes it. Achre leida mutal lishtamish b'chol amtsoi ha-meniyah afilu kippa. Kippa is a kind of a diaphragm. K'de laharchik es ha-knosa lehirayon l'shisha chadoshim ad shana. Afilu mein le'isha shum sibuchim refuye miyuchadim ki tchifus ha-leidos t'gam nachshemus ha-sofek sakon. Not so good to have children one after the other. So on the bottom of Shlomo Zalman is a kasha. Gam achrei leida rishona? Question mark. In other words, if you have a boy and a girl, you fulfill pruru, and you want to wait a year, it's only la'ar bal tanach yadecha, we spoke before, you can, even after only one child is born? My answer to that question is yes, based upon what the Netziv wrote. The Netziv writes in Hamek Shela, that fundamentally the Iker mitzvah of Pru Revu is identical to the mitzvah of Shevis, which is one child. Shultis says it in Shulta Kuf Samachay Oz Beis in the Siv. Having a boy and a girl is what he calls the mitzvah bi'alma. So you have one child, you basically did the most important thing. What if a person has 10 boys or 10 girls? Once you have a boy and a girl, then that patas you from the chiyuv. The chiyuv is livol b'chol ona. Once you have a boy and a girl, you're potter. You get more mitzvahs if you do, as we said at the beginning, but you're potter. It's against the Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Aleph, he says the mitzvah is having children. Couple can't have children, they still fulfill the mitzvah by trying. So once you have even one child, according to the Netziv, and the Chazon Ish seems to agree in principle, the mitzvah has been fulfilled. And if I may add medically, you see that the systems work. Yes, it's secondary infertility exists, but it's a much smaller chance. To practice contraception upon marriage is gaiva, arrogance. You will go off it and we're going to have kids right away. Who said? Even in the general community, I'm told the statistics for conceiving within a year is only 85%. And it was tarets mishpacha, what they call orthodox infertility, and it's even a little bit lower perhaps. In any event, Rabbi Osai, I believe that once one child is born, waiting a year is the chatchila. And I believe that waiting up to 2 years is certainly okay. In the old days, they used to nurse for 2 years, as you well know. Menekes for 2 years. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that someone said they can practice contraception with a diaphragm for 2 years. He said it in Europe. Sheker, it's not true. I don't know what they said in Europe. I know that Rav Henkin, Bala Mechaba B'nei Bonim, quotes it from his grandfather, from the Rav Henkin, who was Rav Moshe's contemporary. Okay, so that's something came to me recently. Okay, a child's turning 2 years. Now what do we do? So I said, well, what do you want to do? What are the issues? Everyone's healthy. The first three children happen to be from the same gender. But I don't think that's really such a relevant consideration. It's somewhat relevant, but not that much. You know what the problem is? Yeshiva tuition. What's the problem? There's a churban. We live in a generation of churban, of people not having children because they can't afford yeshiva tuition. It's a churban. Yeshiva is supposed to be the bulwarks of our communities. They're destroying the communities unwittingly. I said that should not be a consideration. But we can only afford three tuitions. We can't afford four tuitions. So go to the tuition committee and say, here's what I make. First happened to be in some rabbinical capacity. If I gave you all my money, it wouldn't pay for you for so many tuitions. People should not be embarrassed to ask for tuition breaks because tuition is not a parent's responsibility in the first place. Takana was, it should be a community-sponsored institution, like anything else. It was written by Yossi Prager, who was the head of the Avichai. He wrote this in Jewish Action some years back. That's what it should be. In America, it's what we call, we have user fees. If you use the school, you pay a fee. Shouldn't be that way. Sometimes a woman simply just tired out. She just, too much. That's a whole different story. There, I'm extraordinarily sympathetic, but every woman has to know how far she can go. If you look in the Pisrei Tshuva, Simen Hei, Sivkot, Yud Aleph, Kotz HaChasam Sofer, if a woman fulfills Sheves, it's permissible for her to, what they call, use a Kos Shel Ikrin, some kind of permanent contraceptive. A woman's not required to mitzar herself because of her obligation to have children. Called Sar Godol Lishiros Eina Morim. This is all what they're fighting, husband and wife. What should happen? If they both agree, so there's no problem. Shouldn't fight with your wife about having children. So Mefurasher Ramo Simon Aleph. Mefurasher Ramo. Tell us about the importance of having more children. When a person has children and has lost his wife, and if he marries another woman, bas bonim, there'll be ktotos to merivas ben abonim, uben ishto. There'll be fights in the family. If you're allowed to marry a woman who is not a bas bonim, which I add, and what if the woman who's a bas bonim happens to be a present wife? Baruch Hashem, she was blessed with longevity.
What is bas bonim?
Capable of having children. You have to fight with your own wife about that. So I told the same talmidim. People come to me. I say that, you know, I'm very much opposed to contraception at the beginning. After a child is born, 1 year lechatchila, 2 years I'm off to ask a shayla. After that, you want to speak to me, but I can usually save you the trip. It's financial. I don't see any reason for it. And if it's a woman can't handle it, she wins. Don't bother coming to me. She wins. So it boils down, she always wins. Because if she wants a child, he won't. Because of financial reasons, she wins. If he wants a child and she doesn't, because she's overwhelmed, she wins. Okay, nearly. But Moshe has a chiv about it. Chela Gimel Simel Chavdalad, it's hard to her, she's not well. Yosef Mistam Noshim, she's weak more than Stam Noshim. So you can fulfill, you can be mad to her, even though she hasn't had the boy and girl. She gets weight asher tischaze gufa, and she had already pru revu. You can wait till 3 years. Ooh, 3 years. That's if she's a little bit weak, weaker than average, and if she's sickly, even with any sakana, more than 3 years, even the gamri. Because the mitzvah sheves en aisha mishubedes lebala leschalos v'zayosim miderach shtam nashim. I think it's true not only in case of illness, but also in the case of special circumstances. There's a sick child, for example, in the house. Needs special care. And the Rav Moshe doesn't agree, but... In any event, now she's healthy, okay? She's healthy, she's well, 2 years passed, she's had one, and two, three, four... 8 years passed, yes, sir?
Week that her emotions are talking about, right. Like emotionally not ready, or that's not gonna.
Maybe. Maybe. I think I would include that in that category.
Yeah, just not wanting to have.
Oh, she just doesn't want to have. She's just enough.
Not ready.
I'm not enough. Either enough for now or enough, period. The fiani is daiti. Although, again, I always give the nod to the woman's discretion. But there's also an issue of expectation. We spoke about the shibud lebala that the Pesachei Tshuva speaks about, and that the Rav Moshe speaks about. How is that measured? So, in my humble opinion, it's measured by the expectation. And a couple, they start fighting on their dates. They want to have 3 kids, 8 kids. They want to send to this school, to that school. Mishugoyim. But there's without being explicit fighting about it, there's certain expectations based upon the background of the couple when they get married. If you're coming from, I don't know, from Satma, the expectation is that the woman will have children one after the other until she can't have any more. And I would even guess to phrase it, there's a double digit expectation for healthy women. That's not an exaggeration. Just look around. Sometimes it doesn't work. A little more yeshivish, not chassidish, so it goes down a little bit. But it's also what they call in the medical community a grand multipara. You've had 6 or 0, if I'm not mistaken. In the more modern community, so it's less. So, for example, if a couple got married and they were, we'll call them in the more modern community, then he decides to become Chassidish. And he said, okay, honey, now a kid every year for the next 15 years. I didn't marry such a person. I think she wins. You would have told me if you got married with a Strimal, you would have told me that the expectation should be like Satma. Okay, so then we Al Das came, we got married. If I'm healthy, we can do that. Before I go on, are there any questions? Yes, sir.
Is that if after one child, one can't use any contraceptives, but should wait a year, the chachila, how do they, if they should be
the chazanish was matir akipa, which means a diaphragm.
It was matir.
Yeah, diaphragm.
And if the woman doesn't want to use that?
There are other methods. I mean, we can have a whole shiur about the various methods. After I answer this question, I'll give you a 5-minute cheer. Yeah.
Guys, going back to pushing off marriage for kids. So I think it's kind of common that maybe a couple meets in camp or something, they're very young.
Right.
So they're not necessarily at the stage where they or their parents think that they're ready to have kids, but just seems like the, Yetzer Hara and think, so is that legitimate?
I hear your point. It resonates very loud. The problem, of course, with that is if that dispensation is given, so everyone's just going to just not have kids. My recommendation is, if you really decided to get married young, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should watch over you financially, you'll manage. I once had a case where a couple asked me, I said, I got an irate call from the girl's father. He said, are you, yeah, did you say this? Yes. Are you going to accept the financial responsibility of this couple as a child? Baruch Hashem, the couple listened to me, they had a child right away. child is bumbling up on the laps of his grandparents, everybody's happy. Come on. Parents are often supporting children, even if they don't have children of their own, just to get through school or whatever it may be. The big problem today is people have careers. Women have careers, they want to make. I'm not opposed to careers, but not at the expense of having children. That's the most important part of a Jewish life. So that's, that to me, that's a very, very important point. But again, in my shul, I celebrate the career women. We've had doctors and lawyers and had, Baruch Hashem, many children. I also equally celebrate the women who are spending their whole lives taking care of their children, don't leave no careers. We dare not demean these people. Chas v'chalil. That's my take on this. So just to answer your question, now we have another 4 minutes. A diaphragm is a big machlokas aposkim, is an issue of eitzim v'avonim. Chas an issue is a mekel in the shalom based on the Marashal. One can say, based on the Ritva and Yevamis, according to Muka Yosef, if you look at the beautiful elaborations of Rav Yaffin, and that's pages and pages, that if the couple is permitted to practice contraception, and in my opinion, that's after one child was born for the various reasons that we spoke about earlier, then moch, as it's called, would be permissible. Not, there'll be not only an error of omission, it could even be an error of commission. That's assuming that a diaphragm is moch. Many posts will say a diaphragm is further in. It's not moch. It makes it even more calm. What are the, is it also IUDs today? It's also permissible. There's a regular IUD. There's something called Mirena, which is hormonal. You have to watch out for staining. It's a Charlotte. If she stains every month, a drop. Tipachochit. My opinion is she's a Nida Doraisa. That's not going to need it right now. Then there's pills. Some pills have the same effect. They knock the bleeding out completely. They have a season now, once every 3 months. And sometimes the body rebels. It's all different kinds of pills which exist. It's also permissible. You have to be careful about the hilchos nida aspect, and also health-wise, you have to ask a doctor. Whatever is hormonal, you have to ask a doctor. There's patches and all kinds of different variants of hormonal therapies. You have to make sure it's medically sound. Those are the three main methods that are permissible. What's not permissible is a condom. That's a question, a serious question of Hashchasa Zera. Very serious. It's one of the reasons that if a woman has to regulate her cycle before marriage, I always suggest, as I mentioned before, something called Agestin, which is much more foolproof than the average birth control pill. And as soon as you get married or have the first beer, you go off it, everything goes back to normal right away, and fine. You give that woman to regulate herself with her contraceptive pills, so number one, it doesn't always work. There can be breakthrough bleeding. Number two, when you get off it, the body often goes haywire. It's very hard on the couple and then just getting married. And number three, I already have it, so I'll keep refilling it for the next X number of whatever. It's a strong Yetzer Hara. So that's why, three reasons why I prefer the other system. Any final questions? Okay, now no one came to me after last shiur to tell me what they want me to talk about today. So that's why I chose this as an important topic. There's still one more shiur in 10 days from now, and the field is wide open. So many things to talk about. So I'm giving you a chance to, on your way out, to give you a topic you want me to talk about, or sometime, anytime after, I guess, next Monday, I'll be in the Beis Medrash. Otherwise, I'll speak about whatever I want to speak about, which I hope you'll also enjoy. But if you have any particular requests, I'll stand by the door. You can make it a time on the way out. Okay. Freilich and Chanukah to one and all.